So I'm ready to go, guys. I got your information and made some notes. So we can go in the direction that you want to go, but clearly you wanted some feedback, so I'll give it to you if you want.
Yeah, we do. We would like.
I'm kind of glowing today here. I don't know what's going on here, but my head is sort of glowing. I need a hat or something. But I don't have one.
Or you could grow a lot of hair. That would help.
No,
there's nothing growing on that head. That is absolutely bare.
It's okay. Mine is silver and has been forever, so I have hair, but it.
Well, you're very fortunate. yeah, because my head gets cold because I got an air conditioner that blows over me. It's like nightmare. Anyway, okay. So is this what you want to spend some time on today?
We want to spend time on that because we've worked. We'd like to hear some feedback. We also are interested in a couple of areas on our business development, just to tell you, you know, we thought we would tell you what we're doing, and then you could tell us if, you know, we should stay at it, keep at it, more of your thoughts, because that's been our big focus, and we're having, you know, it's tough going, I would say. And so that's what we think.
Why don't you tell me what you're doing on business development, and then we'll get to these details.
Okay. Well, what we're doing is we are trying to develop dependable centers of influence. What we're trying to do. That's the goal, and that's through the discussion, reading, all the stuff that we've talked about. We're doing this right now. We're doing it virtually.
Yep.
And we have had, in fact, I'll tell you this first quarter of the year, we've had 3 calls. And of the 3, the 2 of the 3 that went really well had a common theme. The common theme was both people had a connection that as a client and a friend, and they wanted to help us. That was the common theme. So we feel like we're continuing that path, Rob, and it's working okay because we've had some follow-up and Andy is doing a good job with setting that up. We feel that is working well. We are completely mystified by this CPA stuff, okay? And it came to a head, it's not came to a head, but it on Thursday, Andy and I had a meeting with one of our top clients who is now asking for us to make a CPA referral. The person he works with, it's, you know, it's kind of a long story. And Andy and I both, and we talked about it in our team meeting, Rob, it's the clock is ticking and we don't have anybody that we think we can be completely confident of in referring and that they would see that as an opportunity to help us as we're growing and developing our business. And so, I mean, we talked about it this morning. So I guess what we're doing is continuing that work, but we're just mystified by the CPA stuff. So the only thing I had, and I'll just add to this, because I spent most of the morning working on this, is that I belong to a pretty nice country club here in Kansas City. It's Mission Hills Country Club.
Yep.
We've got 560 members. I'm halfway through the book. I know, you know, most of the people. And CPAs are not people, evidently, that are doing so well that they can afford a country club. It's really changed. Like, so far, there is one, and it's one that we prospected, one CPA firm, Rob, that is a member at Mission Hills Country Club. And so we're just, anyway, that's with me talking and saying that's where we're, and I'm going to continue that path working it, but I'm trying to identify a relationship that I can help the team with, and but I'm just mystified, really.
Hey, Rob, one of the other challenges, I think, in dealing with CPAs is, and I'm curious to know if you guys have seen this, is CPAs getting into the financial advisory business.
Sure.
And so, like, you know, they're our competition in some cases as well. And, you know, how are you seeing people deal with that or work around that or just your thoughts on that as well?
Well, good subject. This was really popular among CPAs prior to the collapse of 07. And in Indianapolis, Bernie Madoff's collapse during that period became quite important to one of the most prominent CPA firms in the business, because that's who they directed all their business to. So there's a good story for you.
Yeah.
Okay, because our particular firm, and I'm sure your firm, avoided him like the plague because they couldn't explain what he was doing. And he wouldn't explain it, so that we never did any business with him. So this was a major firm, happened to be primarily Jewish. And so it just devastated the Jewish community. And that was, you know, people of great prominence, Simon, you know, the Simon family, Simon Malls and all that. And so they lost millions. So that became less important as a competitor after that. And one of the things that you might remind people of is that that's really not, unless you're doing it full time, you probably aren't really that good at it. Okay? Mm-hmm. So just like you don't do taxes, probably not a good idea. Anyway, I could beat them up pretty nicely if I was trying to compete with a firm that was trying to do both. So, and you don't want anything to do with a firm that is managing money. So stay away from them because they're probably going to screw it up and then, you know. So, Here's the reality. What you discovered, Gary, is the reality is that you do business with friends and you do business with people you like and trust. And most of the time they're clients. So those are by far the best. Now, one of the things that you make sure you guys, you know, you should be, have asked this question to every single client. Can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? So I hope you've asked that question. And well, 80% of the time you're going to get, he's fine. He's okay. But you want a list of who all those CPAs are. And then you want to cross-reference them to see how many of your clients are using any particular CPA. If there are seven of them using the same CPA, that is an opportunity to build a relationship there that you may not already have. Okay, so information is very important. Let me ask that question. Have you done that exercise?
Yes.
And what did you get out of it?
Well, only I think two clients had CPAs that were the same. And my experience with that has been difficult in getting the CPA to agree to see us. Now, I'm fully admitting that in the last 6 months, let's say, I have not done the effort needed on that part. And so that's when I took the responsibility. I told everybody on the team, I said, if I can be freed up to do this, then I will do this and make sure that that part gets completed. But I've not done as good a job on that, Rob, as I need to do. But yes, we have that. We have a spreadsheet on our, you know, showing those that their providers, their attorneys, and the CPA. So we've done that, but we need to work harder at it, is what I'm admitting, I think.
And remember, you can do this, ask this question of any human being on, in your planet. It's not just your clients, right? So you're playing golf and you say, oh, by the way, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? I'm looking for a good one.
That's a really good idea. I never thought of that. I mean,
I used to ask, you know what? I used to ask this question to everybody. Who's the best salesman you've ever met? I used to ask that to everybody. It was brilliant because I met some amazing people that way. And guess what? It was really good for my recruiting. Right? So ask every human being that you know, cocktail parties, golf, tennis, whatever you're doing, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA, or do you know a good CPA? I'm looking for one. So you're on the hunt for a good CPA. Well, that's, you know, it's just like any other hiring, Gary. It's takes a long time. You got to be doing it constantly. This is not a one and done deal. This is a forever. Okay. You're always, if you do this right, you're always going to be looking for a CPA. You're always going to be looking for the next great attorney, the next great engineer, the next great cardiologist, the next great, whatever it is. And you're constantly upgrading that enthusiastically endorsed list so that you are you're doing the homework for everybody else in your community. So this is the Angie's List for professionals in your community. So don't think that it's easy. It's not where everybody do it.
Hey, Rob.
Andy.
Hey, how you doing? I think one of the things that has tripped me up a little bit is finding out a contact CPA, whether or not they really like them. I have partially vetted that against, well, do you enthusiastically endorse them and do they refer? I haven't asked people that, but that's what is going on in my mind. I want to find a CPA that
well, first find a good one.
Okay. So, I mean, there's levels to this where then you facilitate introduction with the CPA. And at that point in time, you gauge whether or not it makes, okay.
So here's when we used to prospect, right? First question was, do you have an account with our firm? And then they say yes, then I'd say, thank you, you're in good hands, goodbye, right? So your second question is, do you do financial services? Do you sell financial services? So first question is, are you any good? And the second question is, do you sell financial services? So once you determine that they don't sell financial services and they've been enthusiastically endorsed, then you go for a meeting. And now you're interviewing them as if you are going to hire them. Mm-hmm. You're not being interviewed. You're interviewing them. That's the thing you got to get through your head. They're the ones, right? You're not begging for a meeting to sell them something. You're interviewing them to see if you can hire them, and they will do the job for you, and they can be enthusiastically endorsed by you because that's a big obligation. So once you've determined they're good, then you engage in a conversation of mutual benefit.
Okay.
I'm trying to get it through my head. I've read this and gone. I mean, this is all very good conversation because I'm picking up a couple of things that I know require constant daily focus, basically. That's what, and it becomes a habit. And when you get out of the habit, then you make excuses for why it doesn't happen. I mean, that's basically. Right. what it is.
No, Gary, it's being hungry. Right. You know, I was hungry as a manager. I was looking for talent. You know why? Because I was a psycho about winning. And I would create a game. And whatever the game was, I wanted to win it. And if I didn't get it, have a game put together by the firm, then I'd create my own game. Because I needed that in order to play my best, in order to stay psyched up. So what I would do is if I didn't have a game, I'd bet another office, or I'd bet another region, or I'd bet another manager or something. And whatever it is that I knew was going to be hard for me to do, I would bet them that I could beat them in that. It would be something embarrassing. Like I'd have to wash their car or something.
Okay. Sounds like Back to the Future.
It was. Actually, I made a video of Back to the Future with my guys, and I bet the office in Washington, and I sent them the video of us, and ended up having to wash our cars. But it was a blast, and it made me, I was a complete psycho. But it was fun and it was obsessive. You know, I was constantly obsessing about hunting and finding talent because that's what I got paid for. So if I could hire somebody like you guys that would bring in business for me, I would win. Right. And so that's what I did. And so I'd hunt for great talent. And then I'd train like a maniac and I'd accept. And I would just be constantly on your face, you know, nicely. But you wouldn't have to think, Gary, about whether or not, you know, acquisition was important. You'd have somebody with their hand up your back going, this is very important. That was fun. I had a great time doing it. Now I do this, but I can't be there to check in on you, you know, hourly.
Yeah. Which is a good thing for you.
No, you'd be fun. You guys would be fun to work with. You'd do great. You would have loved what we did. Just check with the guys in Kansas City about what we did at Merrill Lynch. It was those were fun years. They were terrific. Anyway,
that's very helpful. So just, I was able to take that in. I understand, you know, that was very helpful, that discussion for me. And I can lead the charge on that, which will be exciting to do as far as a focus. So we'll give you a report when we talk about it again, but that was very helpful.
Yeah. Just pretend your children have been captured by, some terrorists, and they will not free them until you bring in two great CPAs.
Yeah. Okay. Something like that. I could go.
Yeah, you're assuming that Gary really likes his children, but that's okay. They're good kids.
Keep them, right? Keep them.
No, Gary's kids we would want to get for sure.
All right. So that's the whole, you know, attention to detail in terms of the process, the keeping the enthusiastically endorsed list up to date and working your niches. I just did a video on niches. So I got all psyched up about niches again. It's a gold mine. You know, it's where people accept you because you're an expert at what they love or care about. You know, it could be their company and you know more about it than the HR director. It could be a social organization. It could be a church. It could be a country club. It could be anything, but you love it and you know more about it than anybody else because that's what you do. And then they want to do business with you because you have that in common. Whenever you meet somebody, you go to, you know, it's been so long since we've gone to a cocktail party, we don't even know how to act, I'm sure. But the idea is that when you go and meet somebody for the first time, you do this unconsciously. You spend the first part of the conversation trying to find things that you have in common. And the more things you have in common, the easier it is on each other. All right. So you meet somebody and they're from your town, and then you're from, you both went to the same high school. Then you both went to the same college, and then you both, you know, go to the same church. Now you're like best friends, right? Cause you're among your own tribe. And one of the things that's hard to do is to be just as generous in your, when you don't have things in common with people, you know, when you're very different, that's when it's hard to be, welcoming and to be interested and to really want to like them and want to be friends. Okay. And that's one of the things that we have to do, is to know that, a person isn't who they are based on where they grew up or school they went to, or they are who they are, and they could be from India, and you may have a lot in common because you both have some interest, but you got to find what that interest is. So when you're meeting people, understand that that's what you do for the first half of the conversation. You find out why you're the same. And the second half of the conversation is, why are we different? Meaning, why am I really special at what I do? Okay. So why are we the same? And then why are we different? And everything that I teach you in Supernova makes you different. And everything I teach you is hard compared to not doing it. And that's, if I had any advice to a human being in life, is choose the hard route. If you always chose the hard route, you'd be very successful in life. When you choose always the easy route, you're probably not going to be as successful. Okay, so calling people and doing 12-4-2 is a lot harder than calling them randomly when you feel like it. Right? Developing niches is harder than not developing. Developing centers of influence is much harder than not having them. All the things that we talk about all take discipline, structure, and process. So one of the things to do is to be as process-oriented about acquisition as you are about your 12-4-2s. You get it with the 12-4-2s. Now transition that to acquisition. So build a folder for each niche. And you can look at it weekly, but make sure that it's on your schedule at least monthly. And it pops up and you spend an hour on that niche. Okay. So it's, you block that hour. You're not allowed to do anything else. You must talk to a center of influence inside that niche. You must make progress on that niche because it comes up. Okay. So is monthly enough? No. But is it better than never? Yes. Okay. And your center of influence, that's why I tell you 12 times a year, you know, 12-4-2 with your niche, with your centers of influence. They come up, boom, your call. Go see them. Video. Do something. But it's every single month. And that's what you got to get them to agree to do. And the purpose of your meeting with them is to give them an introduction. You spend the entire month searching for somebody to give to them. And guess what? They spend the entire month searching to find somebody to give to you. And that's where you teach them the enthusiastically endorsed model. And understand that if it's hard for you, it's 10 times harder for them. Because they've never done this. And they're not salesmen. So you've got to teach it to them, and you got to be on them all the time. You got to teach them and teach them and teach them and teach them. Just like Gary, you know, boom, light goes off. Can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? Ask everybody, right? You don't, not just your clients, ask everybody. Well, it's the same thing for them. Ask everybody, can you enthusiastically endorse your financial advisor? Why? I've got a great one. I'm looking for people to give to him because he's so good. right? They got such a great team. I want to help them. Yeah, I'm looking for one. Cocktail party, anywhere, right? It's got one for you. Yay. And get better and better at not just taking a name and a phone number, but an introduction. So you follow the whole process through. Teach him a name or phone number or he'll call you is not good. It's an introduction. It's not an introduction till it's an introduction. Right? So it's hard. It's hard for them. It's hard for you. They've got to be qualified and you've got to introduce them. All right, let's spend a few minutes on the letter, the welcome letter. Andrea, this is yours, right?
Yes.
Okay. I like it. I've got some ideas for you.
Okay.
The purpose of the letter. Put that in the beginning. The purpose is to welcome you and the purpose is to introduce your online account, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that the way you phrase it, it sounds like there's two accounts. It sounds okay. Like we're opening an account for you and we're giving you access to your online account. Wait a minute. It's one account. So we're opening an account for you and we're giving you access to that account. Okay. So just be clear that there's not two accounts.
Okay.
And that the, our purpose today is to make it easy for you to get access to that online account. And so we're going to give you the process for doing that. Concerns of operational service nature. I just wrote down concerns of an operational or service nature. So contact me, not just contact me. Contact me about concerns about operational concerns or service or of a service nature, something like that.
Okay.
Okay. And don't forget the family. It was you, the spouse, you and your spouse. It's you, your spouse, and your family. Because you want the kids and you want, you know, we're taking care of the whole shebang, right?
Right.
So it's good. It's good. And I liked it. And it's part of the introduction. Now you're meeting, you know, somebody that's actually going to get things done for you.
So let me ask you, one of the things I've struggled with recently is, so the online services, each client has their own login. So what I'm finding is it's hard to do a letter. Like I'm doing one letter to the wife and one letter to the husband because they have different logins.
That's insane.
Okay.
Why?
Well, because I don't want to cross-contaminate sharing of information if one spouse doesn't want the other spouse to look at their accounts online. Or I'm making it too hard on myself.
I think you're making it way too hard on yourself. I mean, unless they're about to get a divorce or they are completely, my daughter and my son-in-law do operate completely separately. So you got to know that. And, you know, they were married and they're, you know, 39, but people that are married in their 20s typically just do one get, you know, it's all one deal. People that married in their 60s or 50s or 40s, they probably have separate accounts because they, for some reason, they never believe they're going to stay married. I don't know.
Andrea, okay. I might have missed. Are you saying that that was our decision to have the separate logins?
That is your UBS decision. That's not ours.
Right. So, I mean, okay, I didn't understand that. I don't know if we all, if Rob, under, if we all understood that. What you're saying is UBS is requiring husband and wife to have separate logins.
Correct.
Okay. So you just do it because it's a compliance issue. Okay.
So I think what he's saying though is, couldn't you send one letter with both, you know, I mean, why do two letters? I think maybe that's what Rob was saying.
Like, no, why- I'm saying I didn't know you had to send two letters. You have to send two letters, tell them that they're different logins and that you can't send one letter. One is for one and one letter is for the other. Okay. And you guys decide if you want to tell each other your logins, but we can't. So send two letters. Okay. Sorry.
Nope. You're okay. That, like I said, I kind of struggled with it because I'm like, then do I put them in the same envelope or do I keep them in different envelopes?
And- I would say keep them in different envelopes. They're saying these people are about to get a divorce, so you can't do a thing.
Okay.
They're saying compliance is insane and that's the way it is.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of put first purpose of the letter is to welcome and set up your online access to your account. Online access to your account. You're not setting up another account. It's online access to your account. Okay. Gary in the list, checklist. Just a couple of typos. There's a typo in there.
Oh, is there?
Uh-huh.
I've looked. All right.
And I put access to CPA. I don't know what that meant. Checklist. Access to CPA. Maybe I didn't know what it meant.
Andrew, but you sent, I mean, that document, I didn't look to see what you sent. The one that you sent was the one we're using?
You sent me a thing where you check things.
Yeah, it's in Excel. It doesn't go to the client.
No, it doesn't go to the client, but it's, it was just a, I'm just an editor, you know, I edit things all the time with, I find typos. Sorry. And access to CPA. I didn't know what that meant. I think there was a check mark for access to CPA. Maybe that's the client has given you access to this. I know, access to CPA.
Giving us access to contact them and send their tax information electronically.
That's it. I didn't see that on there. And I think that's very important that you have that as one of your items. Access to your CPA, sending them your tax forms. Cause I don't want to see my tax forms. I don't want to do anything. I want you guys to send it directly to my CPA and them calling me saying I don't have this because you guys didn't send it to me. But otherwise, I want you to do all the work.
Okay, I'll add that in.
Okay, and then our agreement. Our service agreement. One of the things I thought it sounded very boilerplate. Which it is, I'm sure. But you didn't have anything about Supernova in there. You didn't have 1242 or rapid response or financial planning or da da da. Are you afraid?
No.
I think that we used what the template that UBS had for us and we're going to have to modify and do a custom one to add those things in.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing it.
All right. Get I mean, credit. What we... Yeah, so
credit.
You're right. But what we, when we talk about the client, we talk about the service model verbally. So what you're like, I just talked about somebody, you know, 2 weeks ago with a new client about what will happen. That's when Andrea has the follow up. But what you're saying makes better sense, which is to have that listed on that first 90 days, Andrea.
Right. It's our commitment, our service agreement. This is our commitment to you. You know, that's a big deal that every client gets a financial plan. Every client gets 1242 and every client gets rapid response to their problems. 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution. Do it. Go for it. You know, I think you had Will contact you regarding regarding appointments or future service appointments or something like that. That's what everybody does. And they never contact. Okay. So you're doing it, take credit for it, put it out there in big, big bold lights and say, match me, you other competitors, because you can't, because you're too lazy. Yeah, that was it. So I read it. Okay. Thank you. Anytime. Send me stuff.
Thank you.
Put me to work. That's what you're paying me for.
When Andrea put in the subject line, urgent, such and such, I'm like, oh my gosh, what is this? And then I remembered Rob saying, I don't know, if you put urgent in the subject line, I might open it. He put urgent and we all opened it.
Right. There was a 911 call.
Yeah. Well, that helped.
So now I know how to get you to pay attention to emails.
Yeah. Exactly. See? No, that was it.
Okay.
Andy, what do you got?
Just listening. That was, what you said was what I was going to mention, was to put in something about Supernova and the onboarding material. It's the,
you know how it works. You gotta tell them, you gotta say it, and you gotta say it again. So you're going to have to constantly repeat this, and then the challenge always is you got to back up what you say, and that's by your actions. And that's what you're all doing, is the Supernova mantra. So as long as you're following all that, you want to continue to remind people exactly what you are doing.
Oh, good. So
I might add something, Andy, since I have, you know, you were, one of the things you mentioned to us, I think it might have been in January, we actually completed, which we talked about the business plan, which you reviewed, which we've always done and put in place. And then I think you asked, is there any other plan? When will you review this business plan? And I think I gave some, you know, whatever, mealy mouth response. Oh, you know, I'll look at, okay. But the point is we put on the calendar a quarterly meeting with all of us to review. And we had that for the first quarter back on March 29th. That's the first time I've ever done that, but it sure highlighted what, you know, where we needed to step it up.
So right? What came out? What, I'm just curious. What were one or two things that really stood out that you need to step up?
One or two things. You want negatives or positives?
Both.
Well, positives, which is the ultimate part. You know, we set a goal of 15% for production growth this year. And for the first quarter, we're over that actually. That's a positive. And net new assets. We had a goal of $25 million and we're over that. The downside, or where we need to step it up, is under our net new assets, most of that came from existing clients, you know, relationships. We, the negative part for us is that we have, well, we had 18, we have, 18 total qualified new relationships of our goal, and we're at 2. And, you know, we acknowledge we've got some work to do for sure. So we're behind there, but that's also brought in about $3 million, a little over $3 million probably. And, I would say the last thing would be we're finding, since we're not together, that, we haven't set a client event or a marketing event. Like we haven't really done anything. I mean, it's a hard, we can give excuses, but the point is we're 3.5 months through the year and we haven't really done anything for clients or, you know, nothing. Don't have anything planned. We've talked about it, but nothing. And so I think that's a negative. Yeah.
But the weather's getting nice there. And isn't it, you know, even if you do something outside somewhere, try to still, we'll call it, be COVID friendly for a bit longer. But you're right. Now's when you'd want to plan it if you're going to do something over the summer.
Yeah.
Might not be a bad idea.
Well, we have a list of, I don't know, Andy Gustafson, what, a dozen ideas that we had last spring, I think, before we knew where this would go. So, you know, we have ideas that we want to do. And so it's up to us to put it together and do it, but you're right. So that was a negative, you know, for us that we.
Okay. I got an idea for you.
Okay.
Look over the last 2-3 years. Who's given you an introduction that became a client in a meaningful way, and invite them to an ambassador's dinner, something fun, something outdoors, something post-COVID, and thank them for the introductions that they've given you. That's the whole purpose of it.
Love that idea. I love that. That is right up. I mean, I'd love that. I can embrace that.
Really, so you see what it's going to do.
Really like that.
They're going to go, why are we being invited to this? Because you gave us an introduction that became a client and we want to tell you you're part of our ambassadors club. Well, how do we stay in that? We'll just give us another one. And then you could go so far as to give them this is a really good idea. Give them a badge, you know, a nameplate, and on there put the number of introductions that they've given you that became clients. So they walk around as a 2-star general. Or a 1-star, or a 4-star. And then the next year, update it. Now this appeals to certain psycho people like me.
and a natural, and not that I'm trying to switch the topic off your psycho tendencies, but you know what I like about this really is our team has changed so much in the last year or two that it's a reintroduction,
yeah,
to what we are doing.
Yeah, and who you are and what you're doing, and get to meet everybody and just socialize and have a good time. You know, if you got a, I don't know, I mean, I forget whether you guys have a river there or not, but you can do a riverboat thing with, you know, maybe, or maybe you don't, and so you just do something. I know you've got a great mall, and do something at a great restaurant at the mall, and I don't know. You know, just pick something that people would enjoy, and get outdoors and outdoor, you know, tent thing or something. But make it fun, and I think that ambassador thing with the little stars is kind of weirdly cute. And people will, you know, if you do it every year, they'll step up. They people just love that. They like the recognition. Just, you know, I'm, you know, right? But you got to remind them. And that walking around with that name tag on all night will tell people, yeah. Oh, so you've given them 4 introductions? So cool.
That's a really good idea.
It's a fun idea. It's cute. It's Rob Knapp being kindergarten Rob, you know. It doesn't take much to move me. I had the best penmanship in kindergarten. I got the whole award. I still have it.
It started young.
It didn't take much. Just light it up. Just a little spark. Anyway. Okay, guys. Thanks. Enjoyed it. Look forward to it too.
All right. See you later. Yeah.
I want to hear about it. Plan this thing out and let me know what it looks like by the time we talk next time.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, you
great
will.
Idea.
See you later.
Okay.
Yep. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.